Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash it or trash it. Overreactions, hot takes from over the weekend and into Monday. Cash them or trash them. Blankers, would you like to do the honor, age before
sure.
beauty?
Sure. I'll start with the fact that with the firing of Kellen Moore, the honorary scapegoat for the Dallas debacle on offense, the way the season ended and Dak's demise, that Mike McCarthy should call plays for the Dallas Cowboys. I can tell you personally how stupid of a decision this might be. And I don't think that in any way, shape, or form this is the right move for a Dallas organization that's trying to right the offensive ship. I've seen Mike McCarthy. I've had experience with Mike McCarthy. I warned Cowboy fans when they hired Mike McCarthy, but I was thankful that he wasn't calling the plays and that Kellen Moore was. There's a reason why Moore got a job right away, right after they let him go. And I would be very, very scared if I'm Dallas, if that's who your offensive coordinator is going to be next year.
So you're saying that McCarthy shouldn't call the
should
plays?
Should not.
Yeah,
he should find himself an OC.
Absolutely cashing this. This was a bad decision for the Cowboys.
Yep.
Mike McCarthy putting himself in a situation where he's now going to call plays makes the Cowboys worse. Kellen Moore, I know Cowboy fans like don't really love Kellen Moore. They say he's too predictable. You know what they're going to do, blah, 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 blah. He also orchestrated and led the Dallas Cowboys to the number one offense in the NFL two of the last 4 years. Every year in the last four where Dak Prescott was healthy to play the full season, the Cowboys were the number one offense in the NFL. And they chased him off so Mike McCarthy could call plays. I think it's a terrible decision. Absolutely, I'm cashing this.
Joe
George?
Yeah, that's cash easy. To me, it's just leading to the inevitable that he gets fired. Like, I really feel like he just helped sign his own death warrant.
I do, too. I do, too.
What are you doing?
I think Blanker said it yesterday. It was kind of like when Cal gave O'Brien the GM power. Like, it's like, okay, you think you can call the shots. Let's see.
Yeah.
And you just hand him the rope.
Yeah, like, this is your opportunity. Mm-hmm. You think Kellen Moore, we just got a report on the NFL Network, apparently, that they were not getting along, McCarthy and Kellen Moore, at the end. So this is McCarthy's last shot.
I think so, too.
Got a good football team. I'm a good football coach. I'm going to be able to take this team where it needs to go. And
Sean Payton's coming.
Jerry wants me to be here for a long time. I'm going to lead this football team and call the plays.
Let me go one on my cash or trash it with the segue of Kellen Moore, but to the new team that he's on. He's going to L.A., of course, to be the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. He has upgraded quarterbacks. Justin Herbert, better quarterback than Dak Prescott, I believe.
Better receivers.
Better.
Oh, yeah.
I think
Oh, yeah.
The overall room, yeah, but I think CeeDee Lamb, if you were drafting receivers between the Chargers and the Cowboys, would be the first receiver taken.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're probably right, but after that, when you talk, because I think Mike Williams would be the first one taken for the Chargers.
Chargers
but
better
Keenan
room.
Allen and
Chargers
the rest of the
better
guys.
Room. Cowboys
yeah,
the best
I agree
one.
With that. Yep.
But the addition of Kellen Moore for the Chargers will make the Chargers a top five offense in the NFL. They're eighth or ninth this year. The addition of Kellen Moore will jump them into the top five in 2023.
I can cash that one easy because, I think the other thing that you didn't state there and all the things that you stated was he will be a great roadblock to keep the head coach from making dumb decisions that kind of penalize the offense, too, and keep him from having more to do with the offense. Because if you just let Moore do his job and he has all those weapons to play with and Eckler's in the backfield, I think there's no reason why this team, as long as their head coach stays out of the way, can do a lot more, and I cash that one easy as well. I think that's a great call.
I can't do it.
Trash.
I can't do it. The Chargers are cursed. They're a cursed franchise. All their players always get hurt. They've gone way too heavy on Eckler.
Not the second half against Jacksonville.
Well, that's part of the problem. I can't do it that like they'll be top five next year. Just for whatever reason, they can't get out of their own way. all the time. And I'm not convinced that Brandon
Staley.
You
believe Staley, in curses, huh?
With theirs. I mean, they always are hurt. Every time we expect the Chargers, since Phillip Rivers was there, LT, Drew Brees, all those guys.
Like, what about conspiracy theories? You believe in conspiracy theories?
It depends on what conspiracy theory it is.
Do you believe DeMar Hamlin is?
I do. I saw the video. He's alive.
Yeah, they had a good video.
All right, I just want to make sure you're okay with that.
Six-minute video.
I believe in that one.
All right, Joe George, your first ever Cash It or Trash It, the history of Joe George and Cash It or Trash It.
Yeah, let's go big or go home here. Today, Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show, said he knows that there's conversations that are now happening that clearly do not involve him. That plus not being cleared to play in dodgeball because of concussions.
What?
Tua's done. Aaron Rodgers will be the next quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Trash. Ooh. Trashing it right away. Trashing it because of the fact that, I mean, look, the princess needs to realize until he makes a decision, no matter how much he likes the drama queen and everybody waiting and asking and bated breath on every McAfee show, what he's going to do and where he's going to go. The fact of the matter is that we've been through this way too many times, like the boy who cried wolf. Everybody is sick and tired of it already. So I think he'll have one more run and one more go round with Green Bay if he wants it. If not, if he wants out, I think he goes to either the Jets, and more so the Jets than anybody else. But I don't think he goes to the Dolphins, and I think that they try and get some draft picks for him. But I don't see him being with the Dolphins.
I don't think he's going to be a Packer. But I don't think he's going to be a Dolphin. So I'm going to go ahead and trash this one as well. It's going to take something to get Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're going to have pretty good compensation to get Aaron Rodgers. And while Miami, they forfeited their draft pick, but they do they don't have a draft pick this year. They don't have a first rounder, do they? Miami doesn't have a first rounder.
I thought they have their own, or did they have one that they got in a trade later?
That's Denver. That's Denver.
What about San Francisco?
Denver owns San Francisco's first. Miami doesn't have a first-round draft pick.
Yeah,
so, like, what is the compensation that they're giving to Green Bay that's going to entice Green Bay to trade Rodgers to Miami? Future picks? Why do that when you could have the Jets first-rounder this year?
Or the Raiders.
Or if you could have the Raiders first-rounder this year that's a top-10 pick. So I do believe that Aaron Rodgers will not be a Green Bay Packer next year, but I'm trashing that he'll be a Miami Dolphin.
That's fine.
Blankers round two.
Well, the round two one to me is one that happened a few days ago. We were so D'Amico-centric, we didn't get to it. LeBron James overreacted and then some to the final call against the Celtics. And if you want to take it a step further, MJ would have never done that, and he wouldn't have. And the fact of the matter is, you were fouled.
Why are we throwing MJ into this
conversation? Because, look, there's always a tie-in that compares the two. And there's always, I think it came up on the bench the other day, too. The big thing to me is that LeBron, at a certain point, you were fouled. Yeah, there's a way to go about it. But the demonstrative and the, like, almost like a little kid that got his dodgeball taken away on the playground or something, the way that he kept slapping the floor and going down and gyrating all over the place and flailing his arms around. I mean, it's one thing if Pat Beverly does Pat Beverly things with the camera, but for LeBron to act the way he acted was just completely not necessary, and not someone a guy of his caliber needs to be doing.
I mean, this is the easiest cash it or trash it history. Absolutely, he went way too far. It's LeBron James. It's a regular season game in January. I know that they're, like, desperate for wins because they're not very good with L.A., but absolutely he overreacted to that. I heard Chandler Parsons said that his dog could get run over as he was walking him, and he wouldn't have the same reaction that LeBron James had at the end of the game. Yeah, this is an easy cash.
Who said that, Chandler Parsons?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to have a
yeah, like, it's the easiest cash of all time.
Yeah.
Of course he overreacted.
Right.
The real question would be, did Pat Bev overreact by showing him the camera? The camera.
Pat Beverly is starting to live the gimmick a little bit too much.
And now that he has a podcast, I think he's elevated.
Yeah,
his gimmick.
He's Jeremy's a method point, actor now at this point.
It wasn't just bringing the camera on the floor. When you watch him play within the game itself, on every play he should be teed up. On every play, he's challenging officials. The coaches are trying to reel him in. He's challenging the coaches when he gets to the bench. He just believes his own clippings too much, and he's gotten to be too much of a sideshow.
Yeah, he's reading his press clippings a little too much. He's living the gimmick. He's buying into the shtick. All right, my next one on Cash It or Trash It. Tony Romo, during the AFC Championship game, almost said the N-word. Here's how it sounded on we don't have it yet. Tony Romo, during this game, during the AFC Championship, Bengals and Kansas City. I can't remember who caught the pass for Kansas City, but he's running out on the left side of the offensive line, and Tony Romo nearly dropped, in my opinion, I'm curious if you are going to cash it or trash it, and this has started to make the rounds a little bit, I believe he almost said the N-word. He was going to say the N-word on national television. You cashing it or trashing it?
I don't know on that version of it.
He said...
I heard that.
What else was he going to say?
Faintly, but I don't know.
Were all three Bengals named Nick?
Yeah, I want to trash it. I'm not sure. I hope that wasn't the case. I'll leave it to you guys.
What else could he be saying?
I don't know. I don't know the most commonly used words in the man's vocabulary. But this isn't Twitter or text messages where the last two guys that did something similar lost their jobs. But I don't know. I need to see I need to hear the whole context. Again, it was kind of hard to hear, but I would hope not.
Great quality there.
Yeah, I would hope not.
What else are you going to say?
Yeah, I'm going to say I hope not. I don't know if I saw it.
So was that a cash or trash? In cash it or trash it, there's not a hope
trash.
Not.
I'm leaving it curbside
in
a happy bag.
We're going to cash trash this thing.
You're going to cash? Like, come on, make a stance. I'm not calling for Romo to get cancer or anything, but what else is he saying there?
What else is he going to say?
Was he saying Nick?
I'm gonna
was he
say,
saying Nickelbacks? Like, what was he saying?
Trash.
I'm gonna trash it on a little hope of humanity. No, that's not what was about to happen.
See, the text line saying that he was going to say Nickelbacks. When are you playing three Nickelbacks in any defensive formation? Never in the history of football.
And you also, as guys are... So if you haven't seen the play, they're converging to tackle a player. Like, you're not going to describe them as that.
Right. And you never have three Nickelbacks on the football field at the same time.
You have two.
Right. At most. And even then. Like, you're going to have to convince me that he was saying something else. Unless all three of those guys were named Nick, which they weren't. All right, Joe George, what's your final cash in or trash?
Yeah, I was trying to decide what I want to do with this one. I want to just catch up a little bit on, some postseason reaction for the Astros. And I'm sure you guys have discussed it, but I want to make sure you know my thoughts as well. We're going back to back. The Astros are going to be the first team since the Yankees in the early 2000s to go back to back and win the World Series.
I'll cash that one. I'm a firm believer in the Houston Astros, and I believe that as much as you may want to nitpick and pick apart the front office right now, the situation with Bagwell's involvement and a new general manager and Jim Crane, I think the one thing you've seen in Jim Crane is something that you saw with the early Leslie Alexander ownership days, which is he will spare no expense if it means trying to win another championship, which means at the trade deadline, if they need something, they'll go get it. If there's a chance to put them way over the top, he'll go explore it. And he'll sign off on it. And I believe that this young pitching staff is going to pick up where it left off. I believe the lineup's better than it was a year ago. I believe that the Astros are going to win the World Series again, so I will cash it.
Let me dive into my Benedict Branham alter ego. I will bet either one of you guys right now, $100, that the Astros will not win the World Series. You're so confident.
Straight up?
Straight up, $100.
You get the whole rest of the league. I'm not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very good cash there.
I'm a firm believer in the Astros, but I'm not a firm believer in throwing $100 on them versus the world.
Can we change it? Money's boring. Let's just do a nice dinner.
Nice dinner.
Yeah, we'll do a steak dinner.
See, what I was going to do is I was going to take the $100 that each of you bet me and then hedge it with an Astros future. Because they're plus 600 to win the World Series. So I'd just be getting tremendous value and stealing value from you.
I'll take it.
I'm not going to do that.
I know you're not going to.
It would be a foolish bet on your side. This one's tough. Plus 600 to win it all, according to a couple of different sports books. They're ranged all over. They're plus 500, the lowest you'll see it. You can get it up to plus 600.
Who's the favorite right now? Yankees?
The Astros, most places, are the favorite. Okay. But some places, they're tied with the Yankees.
Okay.
But, yeah, it'd be foolish.
Because MLB says they get the best rotation in baseball.
Yankees?
Yeah.
It would be foolish for either one of you to make a straight-up bet whenever you could get plus 600 odds, even up to plus 650.
You fool, Joe. I didn't do it.
I'm a fool.
I'm going to It's hard to win the World Series. The Astros have done it twice.
Are you still your alter ego now, or are you back to being you?
I'm still my alter ego. I'm gonna trash this. I don't think that the Astros win back to back. I hate to say that, and I can't wait for pitchers and catchers to report, and I can't wait for the season, and I hope that I'm wrong. But also, I'm not going to pander to the popular opinion. I'm not going to pander to what the city wants to hear me say.
Well, you hated Yuli, and now you got this.
I didn't hate Yuli. I just said that Yuli had a horrible 2022 season, which is a fact, not an opinion. No, I don't think that the Astros pull back-to-back. I think that they have a deep run. I think they might even go to the World Series. But I don't think they're going to win it. I'm going to play the odds here. I'm going to play the odds, and I'm going to hedge it financially. 713-780-ESPN. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Blankers? I think Brock Purdy getting hurt is a blessing in disguise for the San Francisco 49ers. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Turn down for what?
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. So Brock Purdy tore his UCL, which they're saying that he can be back in 6 months. What Tommy John program gets you back in 6 months?
I have no idea.
Like, they're saying he could be back in 6 months. How? He tore his UCL.
Well, he's getting the second opinion. But, yeah, I saw the exact same thing you saw. Like, if you need surgery and you're back in 6 months, that's pretty freaking amazing. Like, and then today as we were doing the show, ESPN on one of their football shows had an unnamed NFL executive who predicted that Trey Lance would be traded to the Tennessee Titans.
I don't buy that.
I don't either.
I don't think Trey Lance can get traded.
I think he might.
How?
But I said this.
Like, what's the scenario where Trey Lance gets traded?
Well, they're saying it's for Brady. They're saying that for Brady. They're saying you trade Trey Lance, you bring in Tom Brady, now the fan base is appeased because you're doing it for the greatest of all time with a roster that's really good, and obviously you had quarterback issues. I said, yesterday, this scenario could not have been played out any better for Brock Purdy, because if he crapped the bed in the conference championship game, no matter how good he had been and no matter what he had done, that he would face scrutiny, possibility he wouldn't be the starter next year, and he wouldn't get money, and he wouldn't get any kind of true love in the offseason. Now, because of the way it went down and because he wasn't able to play, I think the pathway is set for him to have financial gain, to have the chance to become a starter. And the only way it doesn't is if they do a short-term starter and they're still grooming Purdy to eventually get back to where he once was. It worked out great for him. It didn't work out great for the Niners. I think the Niners know they're too good to put all their eggs in the basket of a young quarterback again next season, and I think they get a veteran.
If they get a veteran, that's the scenario where I think Trey Lance could get traded. If they're going to go with Brock Purdy, I don't know how he's coming back in 6 months. It seems like a minor miracle.
Well, he's getting a second opinion to try and avoid the surgery. Okay. I don't know that he can avoid.
But if Brock Purdy's their starter, I think that Trey Lance is coming back. Like, what's the purpose of trading Trey Lance? You're going to lose value if you trade him. He's still on a rookie deal, so he's not costing you any money against the salary cap. To me, it makes a lot of sense just to keep Trey Lance as a backup. Now, if you're going with a veteran, then, okay, let's trade Trey Lance for whatever you're getting. Brock Purdy will be the backup whenever he's healthy. That's an avenue where I can see Trey Lance traded. Even then, you're still losing a ton of value because Dew is a top three pick, and now you're getting what in return? A third rounder like Mike Silver is reporting. Like, I might just keep Trey Lance as my third string quarterback if all I'm getting is a third round draft pick. But why I think that it is a blessing in disguise for the 49ers. I think the 49ers ceiling was not all that high with Brock Purdy as their quarterback. I don't think they were going to win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy as their quarterback. I think that they were convinced, maybe they go to the Super Bowl, maybe they beat Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game. I think that they were convinced and they were like going into the season next year with Brock Purdy as their QB. I don't think they're ever winning a Super Bowl with Mr. Irrelevant as their quarterback. So now that he's hurt, 6 months would be a miracle, but they're going to go into the offseason with like, okay, we might have to make a decision on who our starting quarterback is going to be. If Brock Purdy wins you the NFC Championship game, or even if he loses by like 3 points, 7 points, and they commit to Brock Purdy as their quarterback back of the future, I don't think that they ever win a Super Bowl. But now because he tore his UCL or, whatever has to happen, however long he's gone, I think the 49ers go into this offseason aggressive at the quarterback position, whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's Aaron Rodgers. And now all of a sudden, if you bring in one of those guys, the ceiling of how far you go goes up.
Well, you can become the Rams.
I think they could, yeah, exactly. I think they can win a Super Bowl with Brady and or Rodgers. I don't think that they can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. And I wouldn't say never, because he might continue to get better and he might make progress to where at some point he's a Jimmy G type player or a little better and he can lead a really talented team. But I think for the here and now, with as good as the rest of that roster is, I think he is not going to be good enough, and they realize that. And so even before he got hurt, he looked like he was pretty shaken by the environment. It looked like this wasn't – I didn't think he looked very comfortable. And I think that you got to look at a guy that when you go into the huddle, and we've talked to players that have said, when you look into the quarterback's eyes, no matter what they're playing and what they're saying – the biggest thing is that they're in complete control and you believe this guy's going to do whatever's necessary. I don't think they saw that from a player standpoint in Purdy. I don't think they saw it from a management standpoint. They realize he might be okay and might be good in a few years. They don't have a few years to wait. And so that's why I think that they're going to look at a veteran. I still stand by what I've said all along about Lance, and I don't believe that he's ever been ready to the point where the Niners have had confidence in him either. I think that it's a tough pill to swallow, but I could see them moving on. But if they're moving on, they're definitely getting themselves a veteran that can do what you said, obviously, Purdy wasn't ready to do right now, and that is take him to the promised land.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line for Julian. Julian, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Julian?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Appreciate the shout-out when you're talking about the Niners, big dog. So listen, I'm right there with you as far as Brock Purdy is concerned. I kept telling my close friends, listen, if Purdy pulls it off, this will be it. This will be his legend, his swan song. He'll never have to do it again. He'll be a career backup, and he'll always be able to say, I took the Niners on a X amount of game winning streak in the NFC Championship, and the only reason why, not the only, but I got hurt. Now, as far as the surgery, you guys are talking about coming back too fast or really fast, miraculous. There is Nick Mullins had this same injury, which is really funny because they're the only quarterbacks that got this particular injury. So it's like it's called like an intake or something. They go in there and they do a couple of things and they try to make it as good as possible. But that's why the recovery isn't so long. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to drive as well.
Yeah. Don't talk about medical things as you drive. We appreciate the call, Julian. Why don't pitchers do that?
I mean, I don't know if it's more taxing a pitcher because it's every pitch throwing it and contorting and twisting and everything like that. So you're not doing it it's not quite as taxing to throw a football the amount of times you're throwing passes as opposed to throwing 100 and some pitches if you're a starter and doing all the things you know.
Sure.
Play after play. But I would think that the surgery is the surgery and the recovery time is the recovery time if you're doing anything to involve throwing anything with that arm.
Yeah. 5742, Niners supporting cast lifted Purdy's game. He didn't lift the supporting cast. I think management knows that. I think Rodgers does that. Brady, I think you have a better chance to win a Super Bowl with Rodgers at this point than Brady.
I agree with that. But I think that depending on the talent around him, I think Brady's capable of taking a team like the Niners or a team like the Raiders in a one-year span of time and making them a hell of a lot better. I'm not saying the Raiders could win a Super Bowl, but I'm saying that the Niners could with Tom Brady.
3780 says, think Purdy's getting an internal brace, not Tommy John. So that would explain it. The six-month estimate is for an alternative surgery, not Tommy John. Okay, so I guess the brace is the six-month injury, whereas the Tommy John would be the year-long, which is still miraculous. Yep. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out there one more time for Corey. Corey, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Corey?
Hey, not much. How y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Hey, I was wanting to talk about that first game that we had to suffer through. It's time that we start talking about the antiquated 53-man roster. With the number of extra games now that matter and the fact that they can buzz down and take players out of the game, they need to look at raising the rosters and then requiring a third-string quarterback. Because if you want to protect the shield, as they say in the NFL, you can't put something like that out on the field. And I mean, it was miserable to watch on Sunday. And the only reason why we're not really talking about it is because that was the first game. They got it covered up with the second game.
Appreciate the call, Corey. There used to be that emergency third quarterback rule that we were actually talking about this in the pre-show production meeting in the bullpen, where they used to have the emergency third quarterback rule, and apparently I'm not exactly sure what the logistics of why it went away. Just bring it back. Like, you can have your 48-man game day roster. You don't have to carry a third quarterback on the 48-man game day roster, and you announce an emergency third-string QB that's basically, you know, roster spot 49. You can't use him unless the first two quarterbacks are out for the game, and then you have that emergency third quarterback. I think that's the way that – I think they should bring that rule back, where your third quarterback, your emergency quarterback is guy number 49. You can't use him unless the first two quarterbacks are done for the game. Once you put him in, the other two quarterbacks are done, but that's a way to kind of cover up what happened in
the
San Francisco game.
I like those stipulations, too, because I wasn't thinking it that far, but I was thinking that based on what we saw in the biggest game in the NFC, to have it go down that way and to have it be so uneventful because of the quarterback situation, that rule had to change. They have to do something to make sure that the three quarterbacks are allowed. And if that's a happy medium, Jeremy, in the scenario that you painted, totally fine with that. Because the only reason that I'm going to my third-string quarterback, hopefully, is because if it's an emergency situation. Otherwise, I have the two guys that I've groomed and prepared that I believe can get us where we need to go, and obviously I don't have any plans of losing my first choice. So I just think that the competition committee is going to have to put their heads together and come up with something like that starting with next season, because you can't have that happen again.
That third quarterback rule, it used to be in place, and they dropped it in 2010. Like, I don't know why they did that, but they did. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If it's not a quarterback at number two, maybe it's DeMeco is the head coach of the Houston Texans. Still hasn't been official with DeMeco. If the Texans don't go QB, how are we feeling about Jalen Carter or Will Anderson? One of the two. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Fair or foul? Joe said he was going to make coffee last break, so it'd be ready at 2:30, you know, this break that we just had into our new segment. And Joe dropped the ball. Yep. Joe George did not make coffee. Fair or foul?
I tried.
What do you mean you tried? You tried to make coffee. How does one fail in an effort to make coffee?
At my last job,
yeah,
you didn't have to add water.
It was already there.
It just like filtered through.
Oh, okay.
I'm an idiot.
You didn't look for the tube?
I'm just dumb.
I understand you didn't have to add hot air.
I'm just a dumb person.
I didn't understand that. You didn't understand that normally when making a liquid beverage, you have to have some form of liquid involved in the process.
I assume there was water in there. And then at home, I just have a Keurig.
So what happens when you assume, sir?
You make an ass out of you and me.
Right. Well, out of us because we were out of options with caffeine.
It's all
out of you because you boasted about making coffee for your boss and your show and being the hero we all need. And then,
what's wrong? Yep. Can't make coffee.
That's right. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
I made a mistake.
That's right. We forgive you.
Speak for yourself.
You're not going to forgive him?
Well, we'll see.
Texans don't go quarterback at number two. Which I think is likely. I think it's likely if DeMeco is the guy, which hopefully he's the guy at this point. If it's not quarterback, we know how everyone feels about the quarterbacks in this draft, especially me. But are you team Jalen Carter or team Will Anderson?
You know where I feel about the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what camp I've been in.
Bryce.
Forever young. No, but look, if that is the case, and that does happen, I think one thing's for sure. That you know who's calling the shots if they go defense at number two. And if it is DeMeco and he is calling the shots, I mean, if you get Jalen Carter, I mean, just based on hearing what Lance had to say and the rating that in the grade he's going to give him and the fact that, you know, to talk about a guy that's transcending the position that he plays in terms of the way he's pancaking guys and, you know, blowing up two blockers and being that disruptive into the backfield to do the things that he's capable of doing, I think it's a great pick. I think Will Anderson, you and I are both on the same page. I saw it when I saw him early on. You saw it when spending some time watching some tape after your season ended. The fact is Will Anderson's got a ton of talent. Will Anderson took a ton of plays off, too. I hope that he was protecting himself and just getting ready for play at the next level because you can't do that in the NFL. But I think if you got one of those two guys, you're obviously going to be better on defense. Then my question just becomes, where do you go for the quarterback for next season?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do at the quarterback position?
I think there's options there. I think that there's, you know, Hendon Hooker will be an option. I posted on Twitter today, at Jeremy Branham, an offensive draft and a defensive draft.
Okay.
Because, look, I think that, I like the defensive draft, quite honestly, because I also pick Hendon Hooker. Like, I was read off to you. I read off the offensive side of the draft, because I think one thing that happens whenever like people see mock drafts, like, oh, no, I don't want this guy. I'd rather have this guy. Or, no, I don't need this. I want that. But quite honestly, like, no team is ever going to pick perfectly how you want to pick. Like, right. They're always going to do something that
That's
you don't
Lance
agree
gets
with.
That's why Lance gets all the hate mail.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's terrible. So, like, I think it's a good way to have, like, an option A and an option B, and you tell me which of the two that you like more, because more than likely, the team's never going to draft every single player that you want. Like, the offensive draft at two, Bryce Young, Quentin Johnston, and then I had him taking Andre Carter, the edge rusher from Army, who's getting a lot of love, who I honestly think is going to go in the first round. I don't think you're going to get him.
Did he get out of his commitment?
He did.
Yeah.
They overruled that.
Okay, they did.
Right. So he's going to be, I honestly don't think he gets out of the first round. I think he's still at 33. But, like, that's your first three picks in the offensive-minded draft. Like, I'm taking Bryce Young, Quentin Johnston, Andre Carter, which I think a lot of people would really like that, right? Like, you get Bryce Young, you get a really good receiver target that a lot of people love, and you still get an edge rusher that is going to be pretty good in the NFL. Or you go to the defensive draft where you go Will Anderson at number two, Brian Branch, the stud safety from Alabama, the B.J. Ojulari, another edge rusher from LSU. So now you have bookend edge rushers for a defensive-minded guy. You get a linebacker from Washington State. And then with that second, third-round pick, you have Hendon Hooker. So you still address the quarterback position even with the defensive-oriented draft. Like, I would be happy with either one of these, if I'm being completely honest. But if we're not going quarterback at two, I think there is ways you can bring in young quarterback, whether it's Hendon Hooker, whether it's another quarterback that you love in this draft, whether it's if for some reason the Packers keep Aaron Rodgers and trade for Jordan Love, if the 49ers trade for Brady, where it's a trade for Trey Lance, like, you can find a boom or bust young quarterback, whether it's in the draft or via the trade market, not at number two. But if I have to go defense at number two, it's tough for me, because I agree, like, both of them have questions. Like, the quarterbacks have questions. Bryce Young, small, CJ Stroud, like, the numbers would tell you he wasn't very good against the, like, pressure. His accuracy went way down against pressure. And then Will Levis didn't have a good final year in college. The two defensive players at the top of the draft, Will Anderson, you can question some effort at times, taking plays off. And then Jalen Carter just does not have the sack numbers that you would want to see for a defensive player that you're taking at number two.
No, I hear what you're saying. Look, I think that the intriguing thing that you and I were talking about, there are other ways to get a quarterback. And I like it. I think what you just pointed out in terms of the two different drafts, I would love to get Hooker when you get him, knowing he's a slightly older guy, but if he recovers from the knee injury, I mean, you take the knee injury out of this, and we were talking about him probably being a finalist for the Heisman, a guy that looked like that he was playing really, really good football, that could be a guy that everybody's talking about getting much higher in the draft. If you get him in the Davis Mills type position and later in the draft, and you can afford to wait a little bit while he gets healthy, I think you could develop him a lot quicker than a Richardson, because he is older and more mature, and I think that, you know, that he is a more ready to play now guy than Richardson, where you could finally do something with it. My more important thing is the possibility of Love, but more so Lance. Because if there's one guy that knows Trey Lance, it's got to be D'Amico Ryans. He practiced against him every day. So it would be up to D'Amico to say the kid can play or he can't play. But if he identifies the kid and says he can play, and San Francisco definitely does look at a veteran, knowing that in order to get what their inevitable goal is, which is to win a Super Bowl, not just be good enough to make the championship game, that you could get him from San Francisco, knowing that if it only took a third and whatever it takes, that you're going to get him at a much lower price, and he still has the ability to be a long-term solution at quarterback, as well as a bridge guy for next season.
And if he's awful,
Does you a favor.
You have a top five pick, and if you need to attach the Cleveland 24th pick to a top five pick to trade up to get either Caleb Williams or Drake May, it's in play. Whereas a Jimmy Garoppolo type, is a David Carr brothers type, a Baker, Sam Darnold, like, now you might Teddy. Be winning too many games. So I want a boom or bust quarterback. If it's not a rookie quarterback, give me boom or bust. So if you go, if your team Will Anderson, if your team Jalen Carter, which are you, 713-780-3776, the HRP listener line, give me boom or bust quarterback. Hendon Hooker in the third. Trey Lance for a third if they bring in Tom Brady. If they're willing to move on from Jordan Love, bring in Jordan Love for a year. Zach Wilson's not at the top of my boom or bust list. If you have to go with Zach Wilson, okay, boom or bust. I'll go Zach Wilson, and if he loses every game that he plays, okay, I'm going to go Caleb Williams next year.
Right. I think that the one guy that's dicey would be the Richardson pick, simply because Nick Caserio's butt's going to be on the hot seat.
And you're looking at that. That
and
would
that's
be
a 2-year development type of guy.
If we eliminate trading, that's going to be the 12th pick.
Yeah, and I just think that's too high for a guy that's probably about 2 years away from being ready to play.
I think he's going to end up going in the top 10.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up going top 10. I don't think he's going to be available at 12. Like, if we think this is a – and I've seen even Tanner McKee.
I would be shocked if that happens, but I could see it happen.
Tanner McKee's the quarterback from Stanford who's starting to get first-round love. I just don't see the Texans going another Stanford quarterback.
I was just going to say, is he Davis Mills?
Right. So, of the four quarterbacks that are not Tanner McKee that are going to be first-round quarterbacks, I don't think any of them get there to 12.
Hmm.
I think they're all
gone before
12.
I would be surprised if Richardson goes higher at 10 or higher. I really would. I think that – if he's not available at 12 when the Texans pick, then I'd be real curious as to when the team picking him expects him to play and if they're okay waiting for him. Because I believe he's 2 years away. I believe he's way too raw.
Unless you're just going to go – I mean, I think you can do some of like what the Eagles have done and what the Giants have done, where you're doing a lot of RPO elements.
Sure.
You're doing a lot of running with the quarterback. I think that he would succeed in that type of offense. I think he'd be good in that type of offense at some point. It wouldn't happen overnight. Yeah. It wouldn't be in his rookie year. 8437, if the Texans do not go QB, I will curse every inch of Caserio's being. I can't go that far. Like, I like the path where you go defensive player at number two, especially if D'Amico is going to be the head coach. Of the two between Will Anderson and Jalen Carter, my lean's actually Jalen Carter, because I think that you can find good edge rushers either at 12 if you want to go that route, or even like this scenario where I drafted the Army dude with your first pick of the second round. I think there's going to be some good edge rushers 12 or in the second round, whereas I don't see that really with like interior defensive line. So I give Jalen Carter the edge over Anderson because of what I expect to be there later in the draft.
But I also mentioned to you yesterday, and I gave you a couple examples, but edge rusher from the linebacker outside position, you can get in free agency. It's a lot easier to find guys like that, and you don't have to, yeah, you're going to pay, but you're not going to pay ungodly amounts of money, and it can be worth it for you. And the kind of guys that we're talking about, to have like that totally disruptive nose guard, that I'm not saying is Aaron Donald, but if you believe that he is transcending, you know, the position and can be one of those type guys, that's the kind of guy you take a high draft pick on. The edge rushing, you can find in a multitude of different areas. It doesn't have to be high in this draft, so that you can, if it's between those two, I would prefer to have Carter.
Yeah, so that's the same thing. Like, because position scarcity, and because I think it's more difficult to find a dominant interior defensive lineman, is why I give the edge to Jalen Carter over Will Anderson. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Perhaps some updates on the D'Amico Ryans news, and perhaps the worst 15 seconds of radio I've ever heard in my life. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's give a quick update on the D'Amico Ryans stuff. The Houston Texans tweeted earlier today that they've completed ongoing conversations with D'Amico. Kind of weird to complete ongoing. Sounds like an oxymoron. Mark Berman has tweeted this out as well. Ian Rappaport has tweeted out that they've concluded ongoing conversations. Maybe it's nothing, maybe it's something. We'll see. Mike Kliss, I think is how you pronounce it, covers the Broncos for 9 News in Denver, has 109,000 followers, if that means anything to you. He says, he said that 30 minutes ago, while the Texans announced they've completed second interview with D'Amico Ryans, there's been no announcement of a deal. Ryans and his representation have not informed Broncos he is withdrawing from the head coaching search. Could be nothing, could be something. That's pretty much where I'm at. I still believe that D'Amico Ryan's going to be the next head coach of the Texans. I'm surprised that the first news we heard this week, after all signs pointed to D'Amico being a Houston Texan, were that they've completed ongoing negotiations or ongoing conversations and not a deal. Like, it's still a little weird that there's not a deal done. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe by the time that we do the show tomorrow, it's announced that D'Amico Ryan's going to be the head coach.
Maybe I think it's a little weird,
Denver
but
comes
it's
into play. Yeah, I think it could very easily be business. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little weird, but it's business. That therefore, I'm not going to be too worried about it, because I don't believe that anything that happened when he was here and they spoke has to do with the mutual belief from both sides that they have the right guy and he has the right team. It's just a matter of when you get into the brass tacks of kind of hammering out the last details, You know that others are going to get involved, like agents. You know that other things are going to become a priority to one side, which isn't the other. And you got to find a way to find a common ground. And sometimes that takes time. So, again, it's not the ideal scenario for the fan base and everybody that wanted this to be cut and dry, done deal. Let's move on and celebrate that we got our guy. It's still going to happen, but it's going to take time while they kind of hammer out these details, which take time.
That is my feel. That is my feel. I'm just surprised to see that the first news we heard at D'Amico, it wasn't the finalization of the deal. It was, oh, they've concluded the conversation, and now the conflicting reports out of Denver are kind of interesting. A little bit earlier today on NFL Network, Ian Rappaport still feels pretty confident, though, that D'Amico is going to land in Houston.
Further discussions. We've completed further discussions. Yes. Do you make anything out of that, the fact they didn't announce the hiring yet?
Yeah, there's some sort of a big button, a smile line with, you know, poison. So I would say there is. So I would say D'Amico Ryans probably has a big smile on his face now for the Houston Texans. Completed the second interview. All expectations are they will now move forward and attempt to make him their next head coach. Not final. It has not been final, but certainly that is the expectation. Has been their top candidate for about 4 or 5 days now, depending on what day it is today, which I'm not really sure.
Tuesday.
I would expect that to come to completion at some point today. And if all goes well, he will be their next head coach. A kind of hire that certainly could be celebrated.
All right. So the expectation from Ian Rappaport is that D'Amico still will be the head coach of the Texans.
Yeah, and look,
it's not final.
I think that's everybody's hope. I think that everybody shouldn't have their dauber down and just be completely distraught yet. But I said the Texans can Texan because the Texans are going to Texan in the past. I think that the one thing that you do is just realize, look, your time frame and the media's time frame in some cases doesn't sync up with the team and the coach's time frame. And that's just, until he's gone, he's here. You hear all the expectations and all the rumors that say that it's going to go the way you want it to go. And until you hear differently, then you just have to kind of hold your horses and you got to be a little more patient than you had expected to be.
Well, hurry up and wait.
Yes.
Any fear for you, let the wheelhouse know. 713-780-3776.
Are they going to talk football?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think that's on the docket today. Do you want to hear the worst? How many seconds was this, Joe George? Do you want to hear however many seconds it is? It's, I think, the worst radio in the history of radio.
I pulled the setup as well.
Okay.
Do you want the setup or just
We can listen to the setup, but the setup gets you to about the worst 5 seconds I've ever heard on my radio ever. So here's the, what's that?
Joe pulled something from his previous employer.
What do you think it is, the worst radio ever that I've ever heard in my life?
Wow.
I think I like the guessing more than
there's so many ways I could go with this. I'm gonna tread as lightly as I did on the Romo comments and say, well, I'll leave it to you to explain to me and I'll see if I agree.
Yeah, you really rode the fence on that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
here's the setup to what is the worst radio I've ever heard in my life.
It's like neither one of Josina Anderson or Ben Albright have heard the fantastic song by Rhett Atkins. You guys ever heard the song "That Ain't My Truck"?
Yeah.
Where Rhett Atkins details a story about a fella that's been going out with a lady, and she told him, "Hey, I'm going out with somebody else too, and you know, I'll pick one of you at the end."
Yep.
And then Rhett Atkins drives by her house, and "That ain't my truck in her drive. Man, this ain't my day tonight." Well, Ben, Josina, that ain't your coach in Denver. Man, it ain't your day on Twitter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty good, huh?
That ain't your coach in Denver.
I have never heard that song, and I don't think I'm going on too big of a limb here by saying I'm pretty sure it doesn't sound like that.
Do you detect any lies?
That ain't your coach in Denver.
Do you detect any lies to what I said? Worst 3 seconds of radio in the history of radio.
I think there's been worse.
I think the FCC called, and I think we got fined for those 3 seconds that we had on our airwaves last night.
I'm sure there's been worse, but...
Yeah, there's been worse, but...
What are we doing?
I mean, I think we're in the conversation, right? Like, you went from Josina Anderson to Rhett Atkins. I guarantee you those two people have never been mentioned in the same sentence ever.
Probably true.
Probably any lies?
That's a safe bet. That doesn't make it the worst radio in the history of radio. I've heard a lot of bad radio over my... Joe and I both have heard a lot of bad radio over our years just in this establishment.
Jet on Twitch.
That ain't your coach in Denver.
I don't think.
I don't want D'Amico Ryans to be the head coach of the Texans if that's what we're going
to
get.
I don't think Cody's getting the golden ticket anytime soon to head to the finals of Star.
Yeah, look, if D'Amico's not the head coach of the Texans.
Yeah.
Then.
What are the country stations on the dial? Like KILT or whatever? That's 100. What is that one? The
100.3, is that the Bull?
The Bull, yeah. That was BS is what that was from Cody. That was a little Bull.
Should we send it as an audition tape?
Maybe so. We should send it to The Voice or America's Got
Talent. That's what I said. He ain't getting that golden ticket and that free trip to the finals on whatever talent show on TV that is.
OG says I sound like a hater. I am a hater. I got told by the bosses never to sing on the air again, and that we're allowing that?
Who told you never to sing again?
My bosses. My bosses told me I'm not allowed to sing on the air anymore.
Here?
My bosses. My bosses. I have many bosses. My bosses told me to stop singing on the air. As long as it's not Kanye, Brendan doesn't mind what you sing. I am a hater.
Too.
I am a hater. Chris from Sam Houston, bad representation of a good song. I agree with that. Lemmy says, ain't nothing like a Branham shot across the bow. Limno says, it sounds like two dogs doing the business.
That's harsh.
Yeah, that is a bit harsh.
From a completely positive individual, that's harsh.
We used to grade the call on the Killer Bees.
Yeah, we did for a long time.
Brendan got rid of that, too. Brendan didn't like us grading the call. How would you grade Cody Stutes singing? 713-780-ESPN. He's going to be on the text line here over the next 5 minutes, too. 713-780-3776. How would you grade Cody Stutes singing little Red Atkins?
That ain't my truck in her drive. Man, this ain't my day tonight. Well, Ben, Josina, that ain't your coach in Denver. Man, it ain't your day on Twitter.
I don't know if it's worse,
the song
or that he was...
I like the twisting of the lyrics, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little...
I think he's just a
songwriter in his
there's creativity.
There's solid execution in changing the lyrics.
Yeah, he could be the songwriter, just not the voice out in front of it.
He likes to sing, though. I think there was a time
where he
had another country song, I think early in the Wheelhouse days, like the first few months in, and Tyler Scott, I think, recorded it for him. I can't remember if it was Johnny Cash or George Strait.
He has... Like
he's definitely got a type, though.
He does like to sing.
And I think he likes to sing a little Texas country. Yeah. Likes a little cold beer and some country music.
So I guess if you could play that backwards, then Denver gets their coach, and they get their job back, their coach back, their dog back, and their truck back.
Yeah.
Because normally that's what they say about country music. Like, if you play it backwards, you would get all those things back, because that's what they sing about when they sing country music.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Your girl back in your driveway.
Long neck beer
truck,
never broke my
heart.
Beer
and your booze.
I'll tell you that. Jasper said, I mean, he's no Shania Twain, but I liked Cody's song. Jasper's a Cody homer, though.
I'm a Shania Twain homer.
You're a big fan?
She had a fastball for a long time.
What was your favorite Shania Twain song?
Could be...
why is it taking so long to answer?
Because I can name a lot of them.
Can you?
Yes, I can.
Is that why you like Shania Twain?
Can you name one?
I don't need a lot. I just need one.
Whose bed have your boots been under?
For talking? I think that was Jessica Simpson, was it not?
Man, feel like a woman.
Yeah.
I could go on and on.
Yeah, it's the music that you really love.
Believe me, my daughter sings the Shania Twain's greatest hits in my car.
Maybe a little country music coming up 3 to 7 on ESPN 97.5, The Boot.
Sung by who?
The Bull. I'm hoping not Cody.
Okay.
I mean, grade the song. Let Cody know. 713-780-3776.
Aren't they going to be breaking down Astros offseason?
I want to hear Andrew sing. I want to hear BK sing. I want to hear some Jake Asman sing some Sinatra, Dean Martin.
BK to me could be Neil Diamond in a second life.
Asman singing Sinatra or Cody singing Red Atkins?
BK.
There you go. That's it for us. Thanks so much to Joe George doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Country music in the Wheelhouse next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.